Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, what a mighty, mighty Savior you are. Our hearts are overjoyed, thrilled that you have Jesus Christ come to be the payment, to be the sacrifice for our sins. Help us to ever have hearts of gratefulness, praise, and thanksgiving, a desire to honor you and please you above all. We would ask that this morning, Holy Spirit, that above everything else, that we would hear you, that we wouldn't battle you, that we wouldn't quench you or grieve you, but that we would be filled with your Spirit, that you would teach us the things that we need to know this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we trust the Bible? Can we trust the Bible? It seems we could speak of a person's approach to the Bible in two broad categories. It is God's Word, and we receive it as God's Word, or it's optional. The first approach, approaching the Bible as God's Word, you would find God speaking, as a person would expect God as God to speak. You would hear him speak his truth with amazing clarity, consistency, power, and relevance to our lives, the world we live in, and the world to come. Or, second approach, you would view the Bible as optional. Maybe two choices here, maybe more, but all with the same result, an option to some, as in not really an option at all, as the Bible has no true value to this person. It is not even worth taking the time to turn the pages. Or another option to others, as a religious book with some value. You've seen this in caps, TBD, to be determined. Well, it's got some value, to be determined by the reader, of course. The one who approaches the book decides what is to be valued. Maybe this person views the Bible as an anachronism. It has seen its day, but it still has some value. An anachronism is something out of place in time, something belonging to or appropriate to a period of history other than that in which it exists. Conspicuously old-fashioned, belonging to the past rather than to the present. But really, the underlying question to can we trust the Bible, if we really want to find the answer, we have to ask this question. Maybe better put, we have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to penetrate our lives with this question, find the answer to this question, which is, can we trust God? I hope you can see that. I hope at least by the end of this morning's message that we will understand that the underlying the question, can we trust the Bible? The big underlying question is, can we trust God? Was he capable? Does he really have wisdom and truth, unlimited, the vast treasure of the resources of God, the one who the Bible says his ways, his paths are past tracing out or finding out? Is he really truly have infinite wisdom and knowledge? So was he capable? Does God have the resources? Don't overlook these questions as just something on the way to something else. These are things that we need to allow God to settle in our minds as we build this case through the month of August for complete trust in and reliance on the Word of God. So was he capable? Does God have wisdom and truth? Does God have anything worth saying? And was he willing? Well, maybe he has all that. He has wisdom and truth, infinite wisdom, knowledge past finding out. But was he willing to communicate that to us? See, these things that we just take for granted. But God did have to decide to communicate to us, did he not? And I had mentioned, I don't know, I get white hair, but Carrie and I just so thankful that God decided to communicate with us. Let me give you a little tidbit along that line. We're going to be going into Colossians. I've almost put in the this book and the information about it, but there's a devotional commentary. It's by a man, Sam Storms, and it is exactly that. It's a devotional commentary, and I kept hearing all this praise for this book, and so I had to check it out. It's really good. But let me give you a tidbit from that. At the beginning, Paul, at the beginning of his letters, he brought our attention to this. He'll say, grace to you. And then we just looked at last week, what did Paul say? Well, may the grace of God be with your spirit, brothers. Beginning grace to you, end grace with you. Well, he said, well, the grace to you. Now, it could be other things, and we could maybe explore it in more depth, but I don't think you can beat the concept that he had. He said, well, grace to you. Well, what is that grace? Well, it's these very words that Paul was writing down. It was this very words of this letter that he was giving to them. And that's God's grace that he communicates to us. So his grace, so when we're studying his word, when we're receiving it, it's his grace that we know anything at all. And then at the end, this grace be with you. Don't let the message fall by the wayside. That's what Paul was saying. He said, I've said all of these things, grace to you. That was grace to you. Everything through Galatians, grace to you. Now coming up September 9th, Lord willing, beginning, grace to you, we'll begin this study. And you get through that and you have these things. Now that grace with you, we live those things out. So was he willing? Yes, he was. His grace to us, he was willing to communicate. Did God direct men to write down his word for us? Yes, Peter tells us that the Holy Spirit carried along holy men of God, or some translation just say men of God, the prophets, and he gave us his word. We can't assume that he didn't have to do that. We rebelled. We looked at this morning in Sunday school, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All grace. So he was willing. He had these men, he directed them to write his words to us. And was he competent? Now, this is a big one. You might not think so. And there's some of these things that we think, well, that's not an issue with me. It's an issue with a lot more people. People don't realize it's an issue because we don't realize when we're doubting God's competence. And we're going to look at some of those things, too, that shows that, oh, hopefully we come to the reaction to, oh, I didn't realize me doing this or me not doing this was doubting the competence of God. But was he competent? Does God speak plainly and clearly? We'll touch on a term. It's called the perspicuity of Scripture. You've heard preachers say, maybe more than one, he makes the main things the plain things. He makes the main things the plain things. It's the things that we need to know, the things that we need to know. It talks about his breathed out words to be thoroughly equipped. He makes those really clear. He was competent. And then, of course, if you look at the gospel, he's not fuzzy about the gospel. He's competent. We have to see if you, as someone's put it, like I said, does God make the main things the plain thing? Our belief in the Bible really rests, it really does, on our belief in God. We sang, and then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. Well, this is that great God's word. How do we come to trust God in such a way then that we have complete confidence in and reliance on his holy word? Would you turn with me first to 1 Thessalonians 2:13? You don't have this in your study sheets, I don't think. It was a later edition. It was going to be a passing reference, but it just kind of grew in importance in my mind. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. You're familiar with this. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. So first, we're going to see this morning, we must trust in the Lord with all our heart. To say, well, how do we get there where we receive the word of God as the word of God? Well, we're going to go to an even more familiar text, a very familiar text. Now, if you turn your Bibles to Proverbs 3:5, very familiar text, that to receive the word of God as the word of God, we must trust in him with all our heart. I got one more day of cardiac rehab, by the way, tomorrow. And I took the draft copies of study sheets in I won't say names, but there's two guys especially that I've really tried to make a connection with. They're both a little bit younger than me, not a lot, late 50s. And I'd really love to meet with them. Carrie said, I was trying to figure things out. She said maybe they'd get together for coffee or something like that. But well, let me just give you first names, Pat and Todd. Would you pray that I can make that connection with Pat and Todd? We've really built up a camaraderie, but you know how that goes. And once the thing's over, then it's, you know, and I'd like to continue that. I'd like to share the gospel with them. But how do we receive? So I was showing them these draft copies of my study sheets, and the one lady that works there, one of the therapists, she said, that's my favorite verse. I said, well, that's a pretty good one to have as your favorite verse. And it's, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. We must trust him with all our heart. Now we're going to look at some things also. Again, we're going to try to move past the big terms, but we need to know the concepts. But we're going to look at through August, the verbal plenary inspiration and what that means. The words are inspired. Plenary, it's God's word is complete. There's nothing that needs added to it. Again, this God we're speaking of, this is God. Was he competent? So we're going to look at some of those concepts, but this is key to that, to understand it, to receive this. The word of God is the word of God. So we have this word all. And I'm going to guess, I didn't check all the translations, but I don't think you probably have a translation here where it doesn't say all. You can tell me later. Don't tell me now if that's not. I didn't check. But all. Trust him with all your heart. Acknowledge him in all of our ways. If we're not trusting him with all our heart, where's the other trust coming from? Can you think through that with me for a minute? Well, it's got to be a source other than God, right? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's the local trend or a theological trend or fashion or whatever it might be. But do you understand if we're not trusting in him completely, if we're trusting in something else, can we do the math, then it's not trusting in God? And that's why, and he repeats these things. He states it differently, but it's saying the same thing. And acknowledge him in most of our ways? No. All our ways. Do you want to come to that place where you have complete trust in and reliance on the word of God? This is telling us how to do that. Anything less than all is leaning on our own understanding. We see it right in our text. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. If you're not completely trusting God and his wisdom, whose wisdom are you trusting? Well, in one, whether you got some other outside source or not, but it all comes down to it's your wisdom because you chose that outside source. You said, hey, you know what? This is a pretty good idea. I like most of what God says. And I really like these inspirational verses, and there's so much of the Bible that speaks to me, but you know, right here. And when maybe we get to that point, just go ahead and repeat the words of this verse and say, do not lean on your own understanding, and say, oh, you know what? That's what that is. But see, we didn't realize it because just the way we are, what's Jeremiah 17 tell us, our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, and you think you know your heart, you're a fool. If you think you know, oh, I know myself. No, you don't. And see, there again, it's God's word tell us. If we're going to receive the word of God, is the word of God, what does he tell us? It's not these other people. It's all of us. Our hearts are deceitful. We don't know. So to the first step in trusting the Bible, which underlying that is being able to trust in the Lord, which is what it's all about, is our concept of our true concept, not the things that we've got memorized or not a theology class that we took, but the things, this word that's in our heart that guides and directs and compels our lives, that concept of God, when our soul sings, O Lord, my God, how great thou art, that we're living that, and it permeates, it just soaks through every aspect of our life. And it just really does come back. People can make fun of it, but, you know, the God said it, I believe it. You know, we had someone had said, God said it, I believe it. Oh, help me out. I got it messed up. That settles it. Thank you. Hate it when I do that. Can't take him anywhere. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. But like someone pointed out, you know, at a different time, and I don't know all the sources, but it's really, it's like the revision of that. God settles it. God said it. I believing it doesn't settle it, does it? Might settle it in my heart. But when God said it's settled, it's the eternal word of God. We'll see these concepts of what we're going to look at some of those scriptures actually. And anyway, so trust him, trust in the Lord with all our heart. If we trust in the Lord with less than all our heart, we will trust in the lie. And I say the lie because all lies spring from the temptation in the garden. It really does. The fall in the garden when the depravity of humanity entered this world. Death came into this world through Adam. It's passed on to each of us. And it's trusting God with all our heart or trusting we will. If you don't do that, if we back off, if we compromise that, we will trust in the lie in one way, shape, or form. We might not realize that. In this, it's trusting in the lie, we will trust in human strength and solutions. Isaiah 30:15-16, for thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, and quietness and trust shall be your strength, but you were unwilling. Well, they were unwilling to what? Trust God. Trust God. We have quite a precedent in the Old Testament, the examples that were written for us, we got quite a precedent that here's God's word. Well, we're God's people. Well, here God says do this. It's like, I don't think so. You were unwilling. But you were unwilling. You said, no, we will flee upon horses. Therefore, you shall flee away. They said, and we will ride upon swift steeds. He said, therefore, your pursuers shall be swift. He said, you think you can get on a fast horse and get away from this calamity that I've brought, this judgment that I've brought? You can get on the fastest horse that you know. You can try to run away. He said, I'll send a faster one. You will be pursued. You will be caught. Isaiah 31:1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. And you're saying, okay, Dave, this is an anachronism. You know, we're not trusting in horses now and chariots, and this is not relevant. Oh, it's very relevant. It's representing to us any way that we're trusting in any kind of human strength. So if we're trusting in the economy, we're trusting in a retirement plan, in anything that we're trusting aside from God, that's just what this is speaking, because God's saying we need to trust him, and we need to trust him with all our heart. Trusting in the lie, we will trust in ourselves. In this we see we will kindle our, and this verse is so excellent, we will kindle our own fire and walk by our own light. And that's what human reason is. That's what the natural mind is. In fact, that is also, it's where those without Christ, where they, it's their world, it's their sphere, it's where they live. But for the believer, when we back off away and we don't fully receive the word of God as the word of God, we can find ourselves in this place too, where we're lighting our own fire and we're going by our own light, because, well, Yes, maybe we think we know better than God. Now, we wouldn't say that out loud. Some people would, but good Christian people, we wouldn't say that out loud. But our lives and our actions demonstrate that that's exactly the belief in our heart. This verse, it's Isaiah 50, you have all these now. You've had these in your study sheet. Who among you fears the Lord, reverence, and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. I've got this. Oh, it's on your study sheet. It's in the New Living Translation. It is just excellent. Let me read it, Al, that I got it right here. And it says, but watch out, you who live in your own light and warm yourselves by your own fires. This is the reward that you will receive from me. You will soon fall down in great torment. See, there is an end. There is a judgment. It's like some of the warnings that Isaiah and Jeremiah, these prophets, wrote. They said, you're doing this and you're doing this. Well, Jeremiah, this was a Jeremiah. And he said, but what will you do in the end? Because there is an end. We can ignore the end. We can pretend there's not, or we can make up our own end. Just you write the end of the story. Someone might tell you that. You write your own story. Positive thinking. You determine what's going to happen. Well, no, you won't. Well, and you'll know that. The only way you know that, though, is if you believe God, if you trust in him with all your heart. Because the reason we got to trust with all our heart, because he will tell us, the Holy Spirit of God will teach us so many things that are contrary to our heart. He will teach us so many things that are contrary to what we currently believe. If we hold back, we can stay, we can live with the lie. I'm going to go through these others. I'll just go through them, and they're well worth, there's a message in each one. But Jeremiah 13:25, we'll forget God. We will, next one, we will succumb to our deceitful hearts. Jeremiah 17:5-9. The fourth one here, we will be more susceptible to the lies of others. Let me just read this scripture, Jeremiah 28:15-17. I want you to notice he's talking to who? The prophet Hananiah, not some guy just down on the street corner, but he's talking to the prophet Hananiah. He said, and Jeremiah the prophet said to the prophet Hananiah, so you got prophet over here and prophet over here. War of the prophets. Anyway, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people, what? Trust in a lie. How is that? Because the man of God is taking his place in their religious system as the spokesman for God. And they're coming in, and he's telling them these things. He's saying, remember we looked at, was it last week? Week before. You know, did God actually say, he said, here's what God actually says. I know this is pretty plain here, but here's what God actually says. This is what God actually means. And so you had a prophet of God having to rebuke the other prophet of God. There are so many scriptures that they speak of. I don't have these listed. If you want them, I can certainly find them for you, where it talks about the prophets who speak for God, but they haven't even listened to God. God said, what? You're speaking for me, but you haven't listened to me? The Jeremiah 29, 30, and 32, we won't look at that. But again, more, the prophet, the spokesperson, the person who's to honor God, who's to honor his position, he says things, and he'll say them typically from the word of God, but he gets the people to trust in a lie. Such precedent we have, things that we can't ignore, things that if we do ignore, I think will be very real and present at the judgment. Thirdly, we trust in the Lord by trusting in the Lord. And you're saying, okay, now Dave, you got tired, didn't you? And you didn't know what else to say. And you thought, man, how can I put this? And actually I wrestled with this, but I kept coming back. That's how it goes. You trust in the Lord by trusting in the Lord. You know, it's not like, well, God, if you'll show me this and if you'll show me that, I'll trust in you. No, you trust in the Lord by trusting in the Lord. What's it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Those who know the name of the Lord put their trust in the Lord. You have on the inside two women, a Debbie McDaniels and Allison Holland, I believe. And there's so many names of the Lord. I got these were brief descriptions. In fact, I had to edit those descriptions. but it's all in the name. The name, you know, I don't want to promote a certain car, so don't anybody get upset with me, and I'm going to say Toyota, and you're going to come up and say Fords are the best, and we're going to be like back when we were on the playground, well, my dad's got a Ford, and your dad's got a Dodge, or whatever, but when we go to look for a car, we bought a Toyota. The name, I want a gas mileage, and I want a reliability. Okay, I'm not saying your cars are all excellent. Your cars are all probably better than mine. So don't come up after church and argue cars. Or you get guys talking about pickup trucks, which one's better. Oh, my goodness. But you know what I mean by that? It's in the name. It's in this great God. All these Hebrew names, and these names meant something. They said something. We have it as God and Yahweh. And those things are great. But the names in the Hebrew that mean so much. And I've given several of those to you. But it says, those who know the name of the Lord, those who know what God's about. Well, who are those people? Well, they're people who, they know God. You know God. You trust God. You know God by trusting God. You trust in Him by trusting Him. And you know Him by trusting in Him. Psalm 9, 9 and 10, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. Some, the next one, those who trust in the name of the Lord our God, rise and stand upright. Psalm 27 and 8. I'm deliberating in my mind how many of these to go through. They're so good. So do this. If I skip one or two, you guys promise to, you'll read them later. Okay. And there, I got a couple of head nods. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. What did David say? When he went out to approach the Philistine, do you think he wasn't invigorated, his soul charged with the strength of God when he said, you trust in this and you trust in that, and all the heathen gods, and Goliath was trusting in his strength. By the way, you guys, I like that on the song. A couple of them are a little wimpy, though. I won't call out names. But you think David wasn't invigorated? He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. David knew God, didn't he? God said David was a man after God's own heart. The name. And he said that but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we will rise and stand upright. Those who trust in the Lord without wavering. And I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Trust in the Lord with an exultant heart. Trust in the Lord to rescue them from terror and schemes of their enemies. All these are on your study sheet. Trust in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Does that thrill your soul? I got to read that one. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You're standing in the shadow of your God when you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart. When you're walking in obedience to His Word because it's the Word of God and you believe the Bible is the Word of God and you receive the Word of God as the Word of God, you dwell in His shadow. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Those who trust in the Lord are not afraid of bad news. Those who trust in the Lord are not afraid, period. Those who trust in the Lord are kept in perfect peace. So this morning I want to ask as we bring this together, who do you trust? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now, because we'll want to say, oh yeah, I trust the Bible. Oh yeah, the Bible's God's Word. And we'll want to say, oh yeah, I trust God, but just... You know, we're like the person, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. And what we're looking for here is our heart turned to God, because you will fail. You will fail miserably. But is our heart turned? See, this isn't calling us to perfection. This isn't calling us to perfect faith. We've got this standard, this bar is up here, and everything we have to do perfectly or God's disappointed with us. No, it's not that. Is our heart turned? Are we believing Him? We'll not have it all together until that moment that we see Jesus Christ and we're brought to perfection, but more than perfection, we're brought to God's glory. But we really can look at, but do I believe God? Is my desire there? Do I desire to believe everything He says? Even if I struggle with something, even if I stumble with life at times, even if I sin, That is all covered, isn't it? This is the power of what Jesus Christ has accomplished at Calvary. So who do we really trust? That's what I want to ask this morning. And I want us to see as we go through the month of August, God's Word. There's nothing like it. We're likely not going to get into historicity and manuscripts and all those things. But folks, there's nothing like it. And if anybody would like to explore that further, I would be more than happy to direct you to study resources. There's nothing like it, but where the bite comes in, the strength comes in, where the opportunity comes in for the Holy Spirit of God to move into our lives, to fill us, to direct us, is from His words of truth. It's from Scripture. Look at the thoughts of these two ladies. I've condensed them together. They gave even more. You got all those on your study sheet. And like I say, even past the study sheet, there's so many names of God from the Hebrew descriptions. But God is Elohim. Oh, you don't have this. You do have these on your study sheet. You don't have the abbreviated form I want to share here. God is Elohim. He is your creator. God is Elohim Chaim. He is the living God. God is El Elyon. He is God Most High. Do you believe that? How do you believe that? How do you know that God is God Most High? How do you know that there's no other? How do you know there's none other? There's only God. There's nothing that compares. How do you know that? Because you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart. That's the God you're coming to know. That's the God in whose grace and knowledge you are growing in. God is Elroy. Now, kids, not Elroy. Elroy. He sees you. It was the concubine out in the wilderness. Hagar, thank you. Boy, you guys have been helpful today. And Hagar, and this was the term that was used when God said, and she's out there. Boy, she went from prominence because I'm going to have a baby and she can't have one. And man, am I up the ladder. And then, boom, you're out in your wilderness and you've run out of water and food. And now you and your son are going to die. And you know what God told Hagar? The Elroy? He said, I see you. He said, I had that script. I had so many scriptures. But it's just so, well, I think that's on your study sheet. I think I did leave it on there. He said, I see you. And he made her a promise. And he fulfilled that promise, didn't he? Why? Because he's God Most High. He's El Elyon. God is Yahweh. He is Lord. God is Yahweh Yireh. The Lord will provide. God is Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. God is Jehovah Roi. He is your shepherd. Jehovah Nisi. He is our banner. El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. Is this the God that you trust? Is this the author of your Bible? Because this is the author of the Scriptures, the breathed out words of God. Can we trust the Bible? Well, yes and yes and yes, because it's in the name, isn't it? God has put His name. He has put His stamp of approval. It is, but we won't know this. Even if you make an outward profession of the Bible's the Word of God, you won't really know that unless you're completely, fully trusting in Him. And it doesn't matter what doubt is raised. It doesn't matter what philosophical or trend comes or what trend in psychology or education, this world system, the secularism of this world system, the way Satan leads the entire world astray, all that won't matter. All those voices, that the roar of the crowd, you won't hear that, because you will hear above everything, you will hear God Most High, the Lord God the Almighty, because you've trusted in Him with all your heart and you've received the Word of God as the Word of God. I trust that if anyone here does not know that God, is not trusting Him in that way, that you would seek the Holy Spirit right now to just let you know where you are before God. Right now in this moment as we pray and as we sing, let's pray. Father, thank You for speaking to us. Holy Spirit, thank You for teaching us. Praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.